Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Different people like different parts of the Bible. We like the parts that you know, kind of suit us. Everybody's got a different favorite book, I guess. If you had one book, the next year you just had one book out of the Bible, what would it be? Somebody? John, Ecclesiastes. There's a depressed fellow. Somebody else? Isaiah? Ephesians? Yeah, see, everybody's got different favorites. I like Job. Just so many things in there, it's hard to figure out, but everybody's got their favorites. But I like this passage in Proverbs. Bible says here, verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Father, we're so thankful this morning that you gave us this book full of songs to sing about our Savior and our salvation. We're so thankful that you've put the answers to everything that we need in this life, the directions for every step we need to take. We're so glad you put your wisdom in writing, in a book, in our language. We can hold it this morning and read it and allow it to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you, Father, for your willingness to lead us and guide us into all truth. And I pray, Father, this morning that you'd help us to take full advantage of these verses that you've written, to learn the lesson you taught this man and had him record so we could all learn it. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name and amen. What we've been talking about this week is the future of Old Paths Bible Baptist Church. And this morning, in particular, talking to our young people, but the two are tied together because you are the future of this church. And in verse number 30, we read about a slothful man, but the slothful man had a field. He didn't lack for possession. He didn't lack for opportunity. He lacked for the character to make proper use of it. This morning, whatever your economic background, this morning, whatever your social background, this morning, whatever your aptitude might be, some are very good at math and some are very good at language and some are very good at recess. Everybody's got different aptitudes. But God has given us all tremendous gifts and opportunities. We would have to agree he's given every one of us a life to live. Praise God. He's given all of you young people an opportunity like few people in history have had, few people in this world have. You have an opportunity to get as much education as you desire. In addition to that, you have, again, what few people in the world have or have had, you have an opportunity to be in a place where you can learn righteousness and learn the Bible and where you can be treated at 16 or 17 or 18 as an important part of an important work. That doesn't exist everywhere. But all of those opportunities, without your heart and without your will being committed to them, are a waste. There's nothing said about this man's field being defective. There's nothing said about this man's field being he doesn't say the soil is bad. It doesn't say the climate is bad. It doesn't say that the hillside's too sloping. And it just says this guy was too lazy to work his field. The problem's not the field. The problem's a man. The Bible says in verse number 30, I went by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Now, to get ahead of ourselves in the passage, it seems to me the man was void of understanding because on some level, before it was ever put into writing, on some level this man bought into Darwin's lie. The most destructive thing that Satan ever came up with, I'm convinced of this, is the theory of evolution. It is single-handedly responsible for most of the destruction of your nation. When you teach generations of people in a country there is no God and they are just animals, you're going to have a hard time figuring out a way to get people who don't fear God and live like animals to be the kind of decent citizens you want them to be. How do we stop the killing? How do we stop the violence? How do we stop the crime? You don't if everybody's a wildcat. But this man, he lacked the understanding that you'd think would be common sense. He didn't understand that if you don't keep the weeds out of the garden will be filled with weeds. He didn't understand that if you don't fight off the predatory insects, you're not going to have any vegetables at the end of the season. The insects will eat them along the way. He didn't understand that somebody built a wall around this vineyard to keep the strangers out and the wild animals out, but that wall's not going to maintain itself. He didn't have the understanding to realize, no matter how much my parents spend on materials for homeschooling, if I don't pay attention and I don't give my heart to it, I'll emerge a dummy. It's not a lack of opportunity. It's a lack of effort. This man didn't understand that a beautiful Christian woman who marries the charming and handsome Christian man, if they think that relationship is just going to function properly on autopilot, they're void of understanding. A church is as fine as this one has to be worked every single week, if not every single day, to maintain what is here physically, spiritually, emotionally. Darwin's a liar. Darwin's theory is a lie. Your home doesn't clean itself. Your church doesn't maintain itself. You don't get better just by sitting in a building with good people. Do you understand this morning that in the United States of America, you can get 13 guaranteed up to 17 years of free education? Won't cost you a dime. Somebody will pick you up and take you to the school. Somebody will give you breakfast and lunch while you're at the school. If mom's working late and there's no dad, they'll pay somebody to keep you after school until mom gets off work. And then when you're 20, 25, 30 and complain that you can't get a good job because you don't have a good education, we're supposed to feel sorry for you? No, you're a sloth. It was there. It was free. You didn't want it. When I was a young Christian, this is 40 years ago. How many of you weren't even alive 40 years ago? Don't raise your hand. I don't even want to know. It cost me every dollar I could spare after rent and food to buy sermons at $2 a piece on cassettes that would break. We had boxes full of them. If you could save up enough money, you could buy Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truth and lose months of sleep staring at those charts. You know what? Now you could listen to sermons 24 hours a day for free on the internet, or you could look at dirty pictures. You can get the greatest commentaries ever written, hundreds of them, on a disc from a friend and load them in your computer and never look at them because you can play solitaire or kill the bad guy. Look, in this day and age, if you don't know the Bible, it's nobody's fault but yours. This man had a vineyard. He just didn't care to work it. He had a field. He just didn't care to maintain it. He can't blame his lack of opportunity. He can't blame that somebody had something he didn't have. He's got it. He just doesn't want to get out of bed and do anything with it. Young man, some of you here this morning, your grandfather's saved and your father's saved. And you've been a church like this where somebody studies the Bible every single week and opens it and preaches it to you. That won't help you a bit if you're lazy. Won't do you one bit of good if you're lazy. That's just a fact. There's you can learn a trade, you can learn a skill, you can learn business, you can learn management, you can start your own business, you can work somebody else, you can make all the money you want to make in this world, unless you're lazy. You can be a church builder, you can be a pastor, you can be an associate pastor, you can be a missionary, you can do anything you want for God, unless you're lazy. And there is nothing God or man can do for somebody that's lazy. This guy had every opportunity in the world. He'd just rather sit in front of a TV. This guy could read. He just didn't take the books off the shelf. You understand what we're saying? Young lady, you could be a great soul winner. You could be a genius. You could be a great wife and mother. You could be a great missionary. Or you could just sit around and eat donuts. Nothing against donuts. You understand what we're saying? God's given you talents, all of us. God's given you abilities, all of us. God's given you a personality, a peculiar one. If you're saved, God's given you salvation. He's given you the Holy Spirit we saw last night. He's put you in the body of Christ and given you gifts. He can't make you do anything with that. That's up to you. Now the sloth, bless its heart. You ever seen one in a zoo or someplace? They're really fascinating. They are moving. But comparatively, it ain't much. Is your room clean? I'm working on it. You could have it done in 20 minutes. Or you could make it last half a day. The problem is not the room. The problem is your lack of devotion to doing a simple thing needs to be done. My father and I, we had a very, very bad relationship. He was not big on the whole dad thing, and I was not big on the whole son thing. He never knew his father. 16 years old, he went in the military, and so he was pretty much the drill instructor, and I was the new recruit. That was our life together. And I don't know why I fought with him about it, because all it got me was in trouble. But I just, to this day, I don't understand making the bed. Nobody's going in that room. No, nobody else cares about that bed. Nobody else is going to see that. Yeah, I've covered their ears. And I would say to myself, why do I have to make the bed? And he said, because one day you're going to have to show up for work on time. Because one day you're going to have to mop a floor. Because one day you're going to have to carry out some guard. He wasn't teaching me to make a bed. He was teaching me to do what I was told, whether it made sense to me or not. That's why you make the bed. One time I said to him, he said, I want that room clean. I said, why don't you come in here and help me? And he came in there and he helped me. He didn't do anything about cleaning the room. That belt, man. He's been gone 12, 15 years now, and I'll do something and I'll look to see if the belt's coming out of the belt loops. Young lady, one day it's not going to be your room, it's going to be your house. And it's not going to be your house. It's going to be your children. It's not going to be your children. It's going to be the ministry you could have had. And there's nobody can cure your sloth but you. There's nobody can cure your laziness but you. They say, I want to be a pastor. No, they don't. They want to stand up here and preach. They don't want to clean up messes. They don't want to fix broken things. They don't want to labor in the word. They don't want to pursue people that have fallen out of church. They don't want to go after lost people that aren't interested in the gospel. They want the glamour and the glory of standing up here preaching. Ministry is no place for lazy people. I mean, we may only work one day a week, but it's a long day. Anyway, that sloth, you see them. Let me rest a while. Let me rest a while. You got that homework done? Not yet. It's 8 math problems. You've been sitting there an hour. I don't want to do it. Well, you're going to have to do it. Why not get it done? Why turn 15 minutes into 2 hours and then blame mom that 2 hours of your life went down there? It's not mom's fault, you lazy bum. Do the 8 problems. Take off your shoes, count it up, fingers, toes, get it done. Trying to help you out. So he's void of understanding. Verse 31, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. That's just what happens. Nothing gets better by itself. Everything gets worse by itself. You have to inject energy to get it better. You have to inject effort just to maintain it where it is. Thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. Some of these things, my wife says, you shouldn't tell people this stuff. They're going to think you're stupid. That's all right. I got saved. I wasn't a dispensationalist. I didn't even know what dispensationalism was. In fact, the world doesn't know what it is. You type it in on your computer and it comes up. That's not even a word. Put dispensationalism in the spell checker. It's no suggestions. They don't even know what that is. Anyway, I didn't know part of the Bible is for Jews and part for Gentiles and part for saved people and this is Old Testament, that's Old Testament. I just read something in the Bible. I thought it was so. So we went out, 2 guys that knew nothing about growing a garden because we'd lived in the city all our lives. We're going to live off the land, you know, like they did in Bible days. So this is how dumb I was. I went to the feed store. Farm and supply place, and I said I got a pack of green beans and a pack of potatoes, you know, tomatoes and a pack of corn and this and that. And I went to the counter and told the guy, I said, I can't find potatoes anywhere. He said, where are the potato seeds? Now, how many of you don't know that's a problem? They don't grow from seeds. You cut the eye off and you put it in the ground. Like, you know, you ever find an old potato under the sink and it's, well, it's growing. It just needs, anyway. So we didn't know anything. So we planted this. If you don't know anything, do it big. So we plowed up 1/2 acre of land. Rototiller. Plowed up that land, and here's the beans, and here's the corn, and here's the tomatoes. And we walked around the land, the 1/2 acre after we planted it. We rebuked the weeds in Jesus' name. We rebuked the insects in Jesus' name. We got down on our knees and prayed and said, God, by faith, we're turning this land over to you. And we just sit back and watch the bountiful harvest come in. And then what a testimony it's going to be for Jesus. That thing was a glorious weed patch. The worms and the bugs ate everything but 2 tomatoes that looked like UFO alien things all twisted around. We were void of understanding. We thought, because we didn't know any better, that weeds don't show up, but they do. Thorns and nettles don't show up, but they do. Insects don't show up, but they do. Guess what, young man? You're going to have to go after righteousness. You're going to have to go after holiness. You're going to have to go after a Christian life. Drink and drugs and pornography and good-for-nothing girls will find you without any effort on your part at all. Okay? Nothing's going to pop up on your computer screen that says, have a better prayer life. On the side of your computer screen, it's not going to say, men in Rochester who want to pray with you. You got to go after that. The thorns of this world and the nettles of this world and the insects of this world, they will show up on their own. You're out there street preaching. Anybody ever solicit you for Bible study? They don't arrest people for soliciting prayer meetings. The wrong kind of woman's looking for you. The right kind of woman, who can find a virtuous woman? There's a difference. There's a difference. Somebody on your job, listen, as soon as you get on that job, people are going to start trying to get you to cuss and drink and tell dirty stories and go to the bar. You don't have to work at falling into sin. You got to work at staying in church. You got to work at staying right. Just how it is. If you're lazy in the fourth grade, you're going to be lazy in the 10th grade. If you're lazy in the 10th grade, you're going to be lazy after you get saved. And it takes work to stay in the Bible. It takes work to stay in church. It takes work to stay right with God. Here's what he says. Face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. That's what happens. Come home from work. Wow. That's amazing. What? Well, the garage door was broken when I left, but now it's fixed. Never. Never. Honey, the pipes under the sink are leaking. What should we do? Just wait. They'll fix themselves. Never. Never. Get a car, it's going to fall apart. Get a vacuum cleaner, she's going to fall apart. I mean, it's going to fall apart. Get clothes, they're going to wear out. There is nothing in this world, Darwin, you liar. There is nothing in this world that maintains itself. If you're lazy, everything you've got is going to break, fall apart, wear out, and you're going to look around one day with nothing to replace it. You got to maintain a positive balance in your bank account. You can't just keep taking money out and think it's going to replenish itself. One time this widow had this barrel. That was called a miracle. You know why it's called a miracle? Because it ain't the norm. Come on, let me help you guys. Now you got a job. Oh, I got a job now. Woo-hoo. I got a car. I got a job. If you're making $10 an hour, $12 an hour, $15 an hour, and buying lunch, you're stupid. How long can it take to make a sandwich? You're going to go pay somebody to make you a sandwich. And for an extra buck, you can have an ounce and a half of chips. Wow. How do they get the machine to stop that fast? This little bag comes and a door opens to let chips drop out. That thing's got to happen like lightning, man, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. How do you get an ounce of potato chips in a bag? So you're going to make $10 an hour and you're going to spend 10 of it in gas and 8 of it on a lunch. And then 15 of it on Netflix. I can watch movies now. You can watch them free. I don't recommend it, but, well, that's an old one. Yeah, a year ago. Come on. You got to work to keep a job. You got to work to keep a bank account. You got to work to keep a car. If you're lazy, your life is going to, you think, well, I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. That's going to be the hardest life anybody's ever lived. Life's hard for the sloth, man. Everything he does, look at him. Not supposed to be that hard. Young lady, don't make life hard by being lazy. Okay, so you cooked a meal, and there's some, you know, little this on the stove and a little that on the sink and little dishes over here. 10 minutes. 10 minutes, it's cleaned up. Or you don't clean it up. Next meal, 20 minutes. You don't clean it up. Next meal, 30 minutes. You don't clean it up. Now the whole kitchen is a disaster. Now you got bugs to deal with. Come on. It's not easier to let it go. It's easier to get it done. That wall is going to fall down all by itself unless you keep it repaired. Your life, your thoughts, your friendships, your walk with God, it's going to fall apart unless you keep it repaired. Verse number 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep. See? Not backsliding. Not dropping out of church. Not going all in with the wrong crowd. Just one Sunday every so often, I just daydream through the sermon. Just one service every so often, I give lip service to the singing. I don't really even pay attention to the words. That's how people, you say, I can't believe that person's out of church. You can't believe they're out of church because it happens so incrementally. It happens so gradually that you didn't see it coming. But God saw it coming. It was just a little cutting back on the devotion time. Just a little cutting back on the Bible reading time. Just a little cutting back on the fellowship. But those things start adding up. They do. Listen, I got a great wife. I do. You couldn't have a better wife. And somebody just suited for me. Can you imagine being married to this? I mean, honestly. And she loves to work. If she could get a construction job, her dad was built houses. If she'd get a job building houses, she'd do it. I mean, she got all these power tools, man, and all this equipment, rebuilt the kitchen, all this. She loves that stuff. Paints the house, paints the room. Okay, what are you doing? I'm painting the room. You painted that room a year ago. I love painting rooms. She worked all the time. Raised these dogs. She got this dog business. Ironing. She just hates ironing. And before long, it's Mount Sinai. There's the ironing board. That's Lillian. Church is tomorrow. Yeah, I got nothing. Now, she could say, well, iron something. But, you know, I'm a man. God forbid I should help out with something like that. Anyway, and it takes so long to do all the ironing. That in your mind, it's like the worst thing in the world is ironing because it takes an hour. It doesn't take an hour unless you wait until everything in the house has to be ironed. Then it takes an hour. I'm not saying I'd be critical of her because that's one area out of everything in life, but that's her thing. What am I saying? If you hate math, do it first. Don't do all your schoolwork for the whole week and then Friday afternoon you've got 6 hours of math. That's your fault. Guys, if you hate mowing the yard, do it first. I sit down to eat and people laugh at me because I eat one thing at a time. Whatever I like the least, I just get out of the way. I just eat all of that. And then I eat all the next thing. And then what's left is, wow, this is great. You say, you're weird. I know, but I'm working hard at it. Look, you understand what I'm saying? You got a prayer list? 15 minutes a morning, every morning, every week, you're through the whole prayer list. Or you can not pray Monday, I'm tired. Not pray Tuesday, I'm busy. Not pray Wednesday, I guess something came up. And now it's Saturday night, and your whole prayer list is sitting there in front of you. You know what you're going to do? You're going to wait till next week. You're just going to skip a week praying. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Now, this guy's got the point. At first, what are you doing? I'm taking a nap. Okay. What are you doing now? Well, I'm just waiting until I'm tired enough to take a nap. He's not folding his hands. It's so funny. He's not folding his hands and going to sleep. He's folding his hands so if he happens to get far enough into zombie land to actually fall asleep, he'll be in position to do so. Start of the verse, he's sleeping. The end of the verse, he's just on the couch. He's not even tired anymore. It's just what he does. He just goes to the couch. They're on this thing now at our church. All the men are losing 30 pounds, 40 pounds, 50 pounds, which is a blessing for them. I'm glad for them. But frequently on the way home from church, my wife will say, did you know a so-and-so how much weight he's lost? And it's not that she's impressed with how much weight that guy lost. It's one of those, you know, just kind of, did you notice that? Polite way of saying, when are you going to start? But you know what I've noticed about America? Let me say this with my eyes closed, because this is the one thing you can't preach about or talk about. You can watch ads about the miracle diet pill, and you can watch ads about the new elliptical machine, and you can watch ads about the medical procedure. But if you're watching them with a cake in one hand and a bag of donuts in the other, you ain't losing no weight. Wish there was a pill for this. Needle and thread works. Just sew the thing shut. You know? Anyway, we all want to be in shape. I want to be in shape. I just don't want to run. I want to be able to ride a bike 600 miles like Brother Jay used to be able to do. I just don't want to ride a bike 6 miles and then 60 miles and then 300 miles. I don't want to get up 600. I want to pray and God give me the miracle ability. I'm watching that little fellow play that trumpet, and my first thought is, I wish I could do that. And as soon as I think that, either God or my conscience says, no, you don't. Because I don't want to blow the same note for 20 minutes. And then the next note for 20 minutes. I just want to pick up a trumpet and magic. Woo-hoo! You're not going to be a good musician if you're lazy. You're not going to be a good Bible teacher if you're lazy. You're not going to be a good husband or a good wife if you're lazy. Lazy ruins your life. Because everything in your life is going to fall apart if you don't work at it. Everything. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty, not poverty, your poverty, your own personal poverty, come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Okay. Whatever street you live on, whatever town you live in, whatever country is your home, about 3 miles down that road is poverty. And poverty is walking down the street looking for a place to take up residence. And poverty will make your life its home if you're lazy. That's a fact. The United States of America has free education. If you didn't take advantage of it, you can get it through a GED. You get your GED, taxpayers will pay for job training. If you don't get the job training and you don't get the GED, we'll give you food, a little card, we'll give you housing, we'll pay your electric bill. If you can't get to the place where they hand out the food, we'll give you a free pass on the city bus. That's America. If you're living under a bridge with nothing to eat, how lazy do you have to be? You're too lazy to go get the free stuff. You know what happens in those lives? Poverty is coming down the road. And it walked past the kid that cleans his room. It walked past the kid that did his homework. Walked past the guy that got his degree. Walked past the woman that learned to do her chores. Walked past the people that stayed in church. And as soon as poverty sees somebody who is too lazy to maintain anything in their life, it moves in. Good grandparents, good parents, good pastors, good church, good school opportunities, that will not keep you out of the poorhouse if you're lazy. You got to repent of being lazy quicker than you'd repent of drinking booze. And I'm against booze. But lazy will destroy you. Want, thy want as an armed man. You know what we do? If you got stuff, you put up a fence or a gate or a security camera, you put locks on your doors, we pay sheriff's departments and we pay police departments. You know why? We don't want somebody coming and taking our stuff. People have guns, some of you have guns. I'm not going to get in that argument with you. Everybody that's against guns has armed bodyguards. You know why you have a gun? Because you don't want a guy with a gun coming and taking your stuff. That's what it says. We would guard our furniture, we would guard the clothes in our closet, we would guard the jewelry on our dresser, we would put a protection on our computer so somebody doesn't get in and steal our identity. And yet God said somebody's going to come and steal your whole life if you don't guard it by learning to be busy and diligent and hardworking. You wouldn't let somebody steal your car. Why would you let them steal a decade of your life? You wouldn't want somebody to steal your money. Why would you let them steal your marriage? Why would you let them steal your walk with God? You know what the Lord said? There is an armed man coming to take every good thing you've got in life, and he's going to take it if you're lazy. That's what he said. That's what he said. Some of you guys like football, sports. Down there in Florida, there are guys at 16 years old, 15, 16 years old, they are already being recruited by big colleges. They are already being watched by agents and professional scouts. They can run faster. They can lift more weight. They have more skill and more moves than anybody we've ever seen. But if they won't do the workouts and they won't stay off the marijuana and they won't stop running around on the weekends, you'll never hear their name. It's not lack of ability. They got super ability. It's not a lack of God-given talent. They've got it in abundance. You know who the guys are that make it? The guys that say, I'm going to be up first in the morning. I'm going to stay last. When this gym closes, I'll still be in there shooting baskets in the dark. That's who makes it. I don't think this is a church of dummies. But young man, young lady, it doesn't matter how smart you are. If you're lazy intellectually, it won't help you. Got good health, you weren't born with any you know, spina bifida or asthma or anything like that. Okay, so what? What good's it do to have good lungs and strong legs and a healthy back if all you want to do is play video games? Don't waste parents like you have. Don't waste the church like you have. Don't waste the opportunities you have in a nation like this one because I just don't feel like it. That slothful man, he sat there till his vineyard was gone and he had one. Till his fields were gone and he had them. Till his walls were in ruins and he had walls. Until every good thing in his life had been stolen by an armed robber and poverty had moved in with him. Last thing, I'm an old guy, I'm older than I ever thought I would be. I'm older than I thought the rapture would happen. I just, for a lot of reasons, I just never thought I'd be this old, but here I am. Please, please listen, because you can't get this at 16. You got to take somebody's word for it. You can't get this at 19. You got to take somebody's word for it. This life is so, so, so hard. If you put yourself and your family in poverty, it is hard. And what will put you in poverty is not learning to do your very best every single day. You think life is hard because you have to work hard. Life will be hard if you don't work hard. If you don't work to control your lusts now, they'll ruin your family later. If you don't work to control your laziness now, it'll ruin your finances later. If you don't work hard to develop a consistent spiritual life, this church will crumble into ruins. There is no way to overcome the ruin that results from sloth. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Work as hard as you can at everything you have to do. Not because that thing's a big deal, but because learning to work hard and do your best is a big deal. Okay? Father, please help these young men, help these young ladies. There's so much ease in our country and so much comfort in our country and so much opportunity for amusement and idleness in our country. Oh, Lord, don't let them be lulled into a life of poverty. Don't let them be lulled into a situation where every good thing they could have ever had is stolen from them because of sloth. Help us, God, young and old alike. Shake off this laziness. Be diligent, busy for your sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. Let's stand together.